I think I lost a lot as a kid. I think I didn't get to make a lot of decisions for myself. And one thing that I learned from one of my therapists a few years ago was you're in the driver's seat now. And so it's the trust goes to you. It gets handed to you. The keys are yours now. And so do you trust yourself? Will you make the decision to choose yourself and even when things are challenging, still do it? Because I think, I got even with fear, just like still do it. Because I think you owe it to yourself. You owe it to the child inside, to win. You can't lose. Shouldn't let yourself lose.
What is going on, everyone? I'm your host, Kevin Munoz. You're listening to the Leo Podcast, where we talk about various educational topics, especially those impacting the Latin American community. This is today's free episode. If you want early access to episodes and bonus episodes, you can find that right now on our patreon.com/latinamericaneo. And if not, then enjoy this one. In today's episode, I had the pleasure to speak with Latino TikTok star Leo Gonzalez. Born and raised in Hanford, California, Leo has mixed comedy and culture to amass more than 2 million followers and more than 66 million likes in less than 2 years on TikTok. His big break came when he impersonated a Univision anchor and reporter. Leo's goal is to try and bridge Latinos with everyone else and to help bring people together through his comedy because he thinks there's a lot of healing in laughter. Our conversation in today's episode allows us to see a more intimate side of Leo, such as what his favorite foods are and why he is an inspirational figure to the Latino community. So let's just dive right into today's episode, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Leo, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here. Let's just begin by having you tell us a little bit about your background, how you got to be the influencer and TikTok star that you are well known for today.
Well, I started in 2020, right in the height of the pandemic, I think. And I only made an account because I wanted to see more videos of people that I thought were so funny on Twitter. So I made a TikTok account to watch. I didn't make it to be a creator myself.
Okay.
And the talent spoke. No, just kidding. No, I did a video and it just got traction and got some followers that night. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like I forgot I used to be funny. Maybe I could do some more stuff. I hadn't been funny for a few years. So I think I made a few videos and then I just kept going. And a little bit later now I moved back to California and I'm here and I feel so fortunate to be doing this because it's really fun. I love it.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you're having fun. And you say you forgot that you were funny. Is that because, reading up on you and just following you for a while now, you always wanted to do at least a comedy, right? You always wanted to do comedy in one form or another, and then you kind of gave that a break, and then through TikTok, you kind of found that again.
Yeah, I wanted to do comedy early on, and then I think it just got really busy with life. I had a lot of things to take care of, a lot of things to deal with that came up. And so with all that stuff happening, I was like, I think I little by little I forgot that like I used to be fun. Like eighth grade, I was killing it.
like killing it with your peers or like the teachers or like everyone.
mainly the peers. I would have like I used to do like a little stand up routine at recess and lunch. Catch me my residency in front of the cafeteria.
Now I'm picturing you like standing up on a table being like, all right, everyone, it's time. Like, is that how it went? Or like you just started.
I was right there on the regular on the ground and didn't want to draw too much attention. It was really like, if you happen to be there, then you heard my show, you heard my set.
You had the privilege. Oh man, I could see starting like a little side hustle, like just selling the kids some tickets. That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, selling that and baked hot Cheetos was the move.
Oh man. Well, listen, I think we all know, a lot of people know you from playing different characters through your skits. You know, but I want to get into, if you're okay with that too, just who Leo is behind all the characters that you play. Like, what's your favorite food and like what makes you the happiest? Like, is content creating, like, what does that makes you the happiest? I feel like that's something that I don't really see a side of from you. So I would love to just, you know, get into that.
Thank you. No one ever asks me what my favorite food is, and I always want to say it.
Well, so, this is it.
Nah, I'm a big fan of tamales. Big fan. Oh. Pozole. I love soup. Mm. I'm such a soup. But pozole, albóndigas, caldo de res, boy, I don't care what. I have such a problem with like memes and those videos of people that are like, oh, my mom's making pozole and it's 140.
Like 100 degrees.
I don't care. I'll have pozole in hell. I don't care. I don't care how hot it is. I am always down for soup, for ramen, like anything. So.
No, that's funny. Yeah. That's like when you mentioned that, my mom be doing the same thing, right? Caldo de res in like 100 degree weather. And I'm always like, mom, why you make a caldo de res? And I'm like, as I'm like pouring it into my, like,
why are you doing this? This,
yeah, why are you doing stupid. This?
Just do four tortillas.
Yeah, exactly.
So I like that. What makes me really happy is not to be like so basic, but I feel really excited because like what I do as my job is what really makes me so happy. Like, I've always done this as a hobby. It's always been like, always been so exciting. Like I've been making videos for like 15 years. And I used to do YouTube and Vine, and nothing ever happened. No traction ever came with that, but I always loved it. I started editing when I was like 11. I learned, I was trying to make music videos of people, vlogs, interviews, you know. And so last night I shot a video with one of my friends here in my living room. And I remember just like, once we finished up, started editing. I stayed up till 4 a.m. this morning editing.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is what I do, like, for work. And it's like, I got to sit down with one of my friends who I love and just talk to him. And you know, we did a little, like, a reflection video and just, like, talk to him. And that's it. Like, what I've always done for free, what I've always done for fun. And so I don't have a lot of hobbies other than that, because it is it was my hobby, and now I just feel so fortunate. It's like the heck, I get to do it. But along with that, like, I love watching other people's stuff, other people's projects and movies, any other people's forms of art. It's so exciting to see, you know, what goes on in people's minds. I really, like, my goal is to be friends with, like, musicians, because musicians are, I think, the coolest people around. I just can't even.
Which musician do you have in mind right now?
Like, to be friends with?
Yeah.
I would love to be friends with this musician who I listen to a lot is Danny Ocean, my favorite band, Morat, like Camilo. I just want to be on Good Morning Tech's basis.
Like, yo, you up? Like, that video that you were talking about that you said you got to sit down with one of your good friends, right? Is that the one with the Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
No, I did see that, and I was gonna get into that later, but you know what, might as well dive into that right now that that you mentioned it. You know, how does it feel to be on one of those, like, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, right, magazine for what they're calling it, like, class of 2022, most, like, influential people out there? Like, how was that when you received the news?
It's really crazy. I think it's really one of those, it's really pretty unbelievable for me. And so it takes, like, a good check-in to just, like, really try to process and think about it. Because I think sometimes, you know, we can get busy and some things can feel like another project or another task. And then you realize, like, oh my gosh, like, that's that magazine, you know, it's the same one that's been around and same one that featured people who you loved growing up. And so it's a big moment of just, like, trying to understand it. And yeah, it's cool. And you know, and for me, it's really exciting because, like, having my friend in it is, like, crazy. I'm such a fan of him and his story, and I've watched him so much behind the scenes work and negotiate and just have heard so much of his dialogue of what he wants to accomplish. And so seeing that for him is so exciting to be able to be in his audience.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to mention all the things that you've accomplished as well. You know, I know that it was, I don't think things came this easy always, right? And I think just being a content creator in general just takes a lot of dedication and time consuming. And sometimes you have to make, like, sacrifices, you know, to get as big as you want to. Like, what are some, like, challenges that you've had to face in your journey to get, you know, from going to this kid in middle school who had, like, comedy shows in front of his friends to being on the freaking Rolling Stones? Like, what's the secret?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of, I think what I feel like I've always been able to do, you know, like I said, I've been doing, I have a separate YouTube account apart from my current one that I used this morning for a video I published this morning. But my old one, it has videos that go back, you know, 15 years. And what I noticed about all of them, after talking to one of my friends, she just said, like, you just never stopped making videos, even while there were things going on. And I don't know why I never stopped. I honestly don't know why or how, because I think there was a lot of things that popped up along the way that were really challenging. And I still somehow managed to write and produce something through that. And so I think there's been a lot of things along the way that really they almost had me.
Yeah, but you didn't let them.
I was very close. But I don't know. I think the whole time, I think I was really just, like, fighting for it, because I was like, man, I think I lost a lot as a kid. I think I didn't get to make a lot of decisions for myself. And one thing that that I learned from one of my therapists a few years ago was you're in the driver's seat now. And so it's the trust goes to you. It gets handed to you. The keys are yours now. And so do you trust yourself? Will you make the decision to choose yourself? And you know, even when things are challenging, still do it. Because I think, you know, I got even with fear, just like still do it. Because I think you owe it to yourself. You owe it to the child inside to win. You can't lose. You shouldn't let yourself lose when it's
that's absolutely beautiful. I love that message. And one that resonates with me a lot in particular, and would too with the Latino community. I think that's the toughest thing that we have. Is kind of following our own dreams, because a lot of us carry a lot on our shoulders when it comes to like our family, right? So I don't know. It's always something I've had trouble with, is balancing like pursuing what I'm passionate about and being tugged towards like my family. You know, I feel like I'm being like, I want to chase my dreams, and then my family wants me to do this. And it's just like, how do you balance that? I guess that's, like you said, I think that's perfectly summarized, you just have to take the keys and, you know, put them in the ignition, because you're the driver, and go for it. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I wish there was, a one size fits all answer. Cause I think that sometimes, you know, I can't speak for everyone and their experiences, but I know that sometimes we are able to leave, and I know that sometimes we're just not. I was able to leave, but like 5 years later than I wanted to. That was one of the, like, a conversation that I had with one of my friends from back then, who recently said, like, man, I'm so excited for you and like everything that you're doing. Imagine if you would have done it earlier. Imagine, because I'm 27 now, and he's like, imagine if you would have started earlier. And I just have to disagree, man. You bet. I wanted to start a lot earlier, but I was not logistically able to leave a lot earlier. I was able to leave right on time, and it was a very tight frame. It was a very tight time frame, and so it's really scary. And I know, you know, it's not easy for everyone, because I knew the whole time that things were happening that I was like, man, I think there's more. I think there's crazy more to life than this. But I believe it. I see it on TV, and I see it through people's stories who I listened to and watched and read about. But I also knew that it just wasn't my time yet to leave. It's a lot. But I think that you do know. I think you know when it's when it's a responsible choice and you're not running away. That was my thing. I wanted to run away, but yeah, I needed to make sure that my bases were covered and that I wasn't running from my problems. And now I feel, I don't feel convicted. Yeah. I don't feel guilt, because I know that, like, when I finally decided that I wanted to try to choose myself, I still made a decision to choose others in the background before I got to choose myself.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to the Leo Podcast. I'm Kevin Munoz. Support for today's episode comes from my Patreons. If you enjoy the show and are looking for bonus content and to further support the show, then head on over to patreon.com/LatinAmericaNeo or visit my website, latinamericaneo.org, to join the growing Leo Podcast community. because the learning doesn't stop with this episode. There's also some sick merch on my website, everything from shirts, coffee mugs, and tote bags. All info will be at the bottom in the show notes. Now let's get back to today's episode. Yeah, no, absolutely. And how do you, like, you know, one of the toughest things I've also had is like explaining how you make money from content creating to like parents, and just family, like other family members as well. How was that for you, explaining it like to your parents that like, listen, like I'm going to take this leap and believing in myself, because I think this is like what I know I'm destined for. And a lot of Latino parents see as higher education as being like the pinnacle of, you know, American dream success. They don't really see how much money you can make online and all the opportunities on social media as well. And of course it's not easy, but it's certainly there, right? Was that something that you also had to communicate?
For me, I mean, yeah, totally. Like, I think one thing that I talked off camera with my friend yesterday was that I think one of the reasons that it's hard for them is I my assumption, I guess my take on it is I think it's also hard for them to understand that, like, it's a little irritating that, like, we came over to this country, speaking for them, like we came over to this country and it's been so hard for us to make money. Mm-hmm. And then you're telling us that you can make this amount for doing nothing, essentially. For
mentioning a product or like.
Yeah. So I feel like there's a lot of layers to it. I think that there, you know, there's frustration and I think there's also fear, because I think when you know that, you know, for my dad who still works in the fields in Hanford, for him, it's like he knows that if there's rain and, I mean, if there's water and sun, there's going to probably be fruit to pick and pack. And for us, I mean, I can't make a promise that, because social media is still unpredictable for me.
Right.
And so it is hard to like put that trust in that. And so for me, though, I didn't really have to make that. And I didn't have to make that have that sort of dialogue with my parents, because my dad actually just like 2 weeks ago found out what I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to go visit him because he's in California right now. And visit him and got together with my mom and took them to dinner and went shopping a little bit and you know, with some people coming up for to meet and chat.
Yeah.
And took a picture. I think that's when he finally was trying to figure out what was going on, because I never really told him. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't do, you know, social media or anything. He's very busy with he lives in Mexico. He has his wife and children over there, so that's not something that I ever had to explain to him. And yeah. For my mom, it was, you know, I just kind of let her know this is what's going on, and I think she trusts me and what I'm doing, because I typically am not a super trusting person. And so I feel like if I'm doing it, I think that she trusts that I know what I'm doing, because I wouldn't just put my faith in anything.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like you're doing it, you know, all the opportunities that have come from, like, you know, TikTok, that has elevated you and opened a lot of doors for you. Ultimately cycles back to, like, you know, your parents, right? Like, I think that's something too that they might not see, and it's sometimes hard to understand, but, you know, that's it's beautiful that you communicate that with them and they know that too. I want to switch gears a little bit about what it means for you to be a Latino content creator in this space where, as I mentioned earlier in the conversation, you know, it's there's not that many, and now there's you're seeing a little bit more Latinos taking that leap of faith and getting into like YouTube and TikTok and you know Instagram and being influencers, but there's still not that many of us. And you're someone that I look up to as that you know your journey is one that I can resonate with, and all the things that you've accomplished despite everything that you've been through. I really admire that. So, you know, what does that mean to represent like a Latino community in your space?
Yeah, it's a big responsibility for me, because I think that I grew up really aware of my of my culture of being brown and and seeing what that meant on Capitol Hill growing up and watching the news. I watched the news for fun as a child, and I've always watched the news as like more than I've watched any other show or movie. And so what I always felt was that I understood the racism and these preconceived ideas that people had. And I never wanted to be another person that made life hard for people. You know, watching the news, I felt so insecure when I would watch someone with the last name Gonzalez get arrested, or you know, on TV, and it shows that they're wanted, and it says Gonzalez or Garcia.
Yeah.
And I was just like, dang.
Yes, yes,
that's,
same here.
Here's something else going on, and you know, and so feeling super insecure with that. And so I grew up really stressing out about that, because like, oh, I don't want to be another Gonzalez on that side. Maybe I'll be a Gonzalez on the anchor side or something. And so I always wanted to be intentional about just trying to be good. Because I watched people, you know, growing up who I just thought were so cool, and so positive, on TV. And I thought there was not a lot of people that looked like me. I mean, other than watching George Lopez, which he was someone that inspired me because of his story. And I just thought he was so funny. But apart from him, there wasn't a lot of people on TV, and I never watched YouTube growing up. Like as a kid, I never really watched much YouTube. Like really, I really don't remember watching anybody. And so I think now that I'm here, I have met a lot of people.
Including George Lopez, right?
I've met a lot of people in the last 2 years who say that they watch me, and I'm like, that's crazy, that's wild. I'm glad that you know, people can watch me and feel safe. I got a message last week from someone who just DM'd me and said thank you for not swearing in your Instagram and TikToks, because my family and I, my kids can watch you with me. And
that's
so nice for me, because even if the kids don't get the humor, I'd like for the parents to be able to watch me in front of them. And so, yeah, I just want to represent well and try to be a decent person. And you know, I wanted to say Gonzalez on the bottom of the screen, but not wanted. Different.
Was, you know, not cursing and that stuff, like family friendly content, was that always your aim? Like, was that on purpose? Or just kind of like developed? It's just like, that's what my content is. And it just happens to be family friendly.
No, I think I had never cussed before I met this other creator named Chewy. And then I collabed with him very early on TikTok, and he shouldn't have collabed with me because I was very, very small, and he was very massive, and I had like 2 brand deals at the time. They were not brand deals. They were like, you know, here's some money on Cash App, some talk about this or whatever. And anyways, one thing that he said, he's like, just don't ever cuss. And just like, don't ever cuss. Like, it's not worth it. Like, just be brand friendly. And I wasn't really cussing before that, but then after that, I was like, all right, like, I can try to be funny without cussing. I do swear off camera, and I'll swear like in podcasts and stuff, but not when it's my own thing. When it's other people's stuff, it's like,
it's like, I don't care. Well, I mean, that's the whole thing, you know, with, especially with like podcasts and stuff. It's just like, hey, that's, you're here to be you. You can do the other side of that most people don't get to see, right?
I will say though, when my stand up, I haven't done stand up, but I'm writing stand up.
I was gonna say, do you do stand up?
It's a bunch of swearing and that.
Yeah.
So I think for that, I'm like, I'm trying to go down like the like Bob Saget type, like very clean on TV and this, and then when it comes to like the stage.
Yeah. So are you planning to like, you said you're writing stand up. Are you gonna be like touring and stuff in the future? Is that kind of what you
right now? Because
I would love to see you. I'm in Jersey. Come to New York. Yeah. So come to New York or like Philly. I'm there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm down. Yeah. I don't have any plans right now, but I am writing. And so that's one of the things that I did want to do for sure. Cause a lot of people assumed that I do stand up because they DM me about it. And I'm like, I guess I should. It's fun. I do. I want to get back to my 8th grade days when I had a residency.
Exactly. What messages would you have for the Latino community and others, you know, seeing this and listening when it comes to just following their own path? And, you know, you're someone that a lot of people look up to. So what messages would you like to say to us?
I think that you should do what you feel makes you feel like the most alive. I never wanted to have any regrets. I just always felt like, you know, I might as well try it, and if it doesn't work, then that's fine. Who am I? You know, the world or people or God doesn't owe me anything. So if it doesn't work, then I'm fine. But like, if it works, that's gonna be so crazy. What if it works? I think that if you feel alive doing something, then you should press into that, lock eyes with that, because you have that right in your one life on earth, though, the only time you get, you might as well spend it trying to do that thing that you love. That, because I don't know, I feel like, you know, we all had like these dreams in first, fourth grade, whatever. And then sometimes we get busy, and sometimes, you know, we don't always want to still do that. But if you still do, then still just try it. Because I think the reward is such a tropical, peaceful feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing too, it's like you mentioned little Leo on the Rolling Stones, and I wanted to see what you thought, like, thinking of little Leo, do you think he would be proud of where you're at today? Would he ever have imagined that you'd be where you're at today?
I think so. I think could imagine it because I think he dreamed so much. And so, yeah, I think he'd be just jumping in excitement that you did that, you know, like, and so I think sometimes I have little Leo, and it's really just him, not me, in the room. And I'm just like, this is George Lopez, and look, this is Eugenio Derbez. This is the set. This is the studio. This is where this, you know? And so, yeah, that's the only judge that I really am just trying to impress. Cause I think he's super easily impressed, but it's so fun to impress. Yeah.
Got to get one of those like pop figures of yourself. Got to get that in the works. Come on, Brendan, what are you doing? Exactly. Right. And, you know, finally, I want to finish off with a question that I like to ask at the end of the podcast and just start asking people as well. It's just like, finally, like, what do you attribute your success to? Like, do you think a certain percentage of it comes from luck? Is it all luck, determination? Like, what do you think?
Well, I think the reason that I haven't stopped, I think what I attribute stuff to is or things, my life is I had a lot of community growing up. I was really fortunate to have like really loving teachers and school staff, and mm-hmm. And so I think because of that, I've tried to be intentional about that. Like, I got my bike stolen in sixth grade, and then the office people all pitched in to buy me a new bike. So now, wow. I can't live my life as if a group of people didn't one time buy me a bike, you know, like I feel like because of that, I've tried to be very decent. Cause I can't pretend that didn't happen. And I think because of that, I try to be someone that, disarms people, and I want you to feel really comfortable and safe, and you know, and I've prayed a lot about stuff that's happening, and I've haven't really stopped working, like I had mentioned, through other things that were happening. And yeah, I think a lot of that also just goes back to the little child just trying to have a cool show and tell. I think all of those things all together sets things up really nicely.
That's beautiful. I mean, you mentioned like the little child. It's just like I just picture like little Leo just like pushing you, right, just to keep going, like just behind you all the time, like, yeah, no, yeah, keep going, like we gotta go to the next level, like I want to go bigger and like go do these amazing things. And
I've never thought about it that way, but I can fully feel that that's what has been happening this whole time,
right? Like when you need that little push, you just remember little Leo just pushing you and behind you, right? Like, which, speaking of going beyond and dreaming, what's next for you? What do you, is there anything that you're working on that you want to share, or anything that you'd like to promote, whatever this is, you know, I want to know what you're working on and what you are going to, what are your plans for the future as well? Like, what can we look forward to?
Yeah, I have a lot of dreams. Nothing that I'm working on at this moment.
Yeah.
Nothing in, you know, production, but there are things that are in pre-production.
I got you. Yeah, yeah. It's in the work. The seeds planted, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of writing. Yeah, so I think there's some fun stuff ahead. But you have to wait and see.
All right.
yeah, but yeah, still working on TikToks every day, Instagram every day.
Yeah, I see you. I'm a fan. I see you all the time. But yeah, no, thank you again for coming on here and sharing a lot of a lot about yourself, a side that I haven't seen much of, and I wanted to see more of, and I'm glad that you're vulnerable too, so I appreciate that.
Thank you, I appreciate this.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a family or a friend and rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It helps tremendously in order to bring more awareness and educational resources to our community. For more information and to stay up to date with what I'm doing, you can follow me on Instagram at LatinaAmericaNail. And if you need more information and resources, you can visit my website, LatinaAmericaNail.org. I'm Kevin Munoz. This has been the Leo Podcast, and I'll see you next time.